quiet times and spending time with God. And whenever we talk about spending time with God, we want to make sure that we understand that there are practical ways to do this. Some people just don't know what to do. And there are a lot of times when people say, you should pray or you need to spend time with God. And a lot of people say, well, yeah, I know I need to spend time with God. But anybody ever get frustrated or kind of like stuck in the mud, or it's just like, I tried, but it didn't. I fell asleep. Or I tried and I read the Bible, I got nothing out of it. Or I tried and it's just, for whatever reason, it just don't click. It's a struggle at times. And so sometimes people struggle in God's presence because they've never been taught as to what to do. We kind of talk, or, all right, God, or should I, you know, all right, Jesus, kind of had a good day. What you doing today? Okay, this ain't working. Amen. I'm going on about my business. And so sometimes that creates this reality that spending time with God is just hard. And I've had young people say, it's just hard. I don't get it. I don't enjoy reading the Bible. I don't enjoy spending time with God. And here's the truth. We as a people have to master this. Your flow or your destiny or your life is tied from the one who gave it to you. It's tied in God. And if we don't know how to hear God, we don't know how to spend time with God, it's very difficult to do what God wants you to do in your life. Not only do what God wants you to do, it's very difficult to know what God is saying. It's very difficult to have relationship with God when we don't know how to talk to God and we don't know how to hear from God. And I have to say this because I am adamant about God does speak. I want to say that again. God does speak. Amen. I want you to repeat that with me. God does speak. I want you to say it one more time. God does speak. For a lot of people, it is the Bible speaks. Well, we're going to say what we said again. God does speak. Now, for a lot of people, that is a paradigm shift, or that is a, I don't even know, I've tried to hear from God and I don't hear God. So I want to talk about hearing from God. If we don't have time to where we're hearing from God, is God distant? Is he mute that he cannot talk? Is God unable to communicate to people? Is God so distant from us that he says, I gave you a book to read. That's the only thing that I want you to hear from me. You hear the book. Is God the book? And so I want to help us understand, when we do praises to God, when we try to listen to God, the reason we do that is because God, somebody say, is a person. Yeah, God is a person. He's not an idea. God is a person. He's not an idol. In fact, the Bible says about idols, the Bible says, do not trust in idols, for they don't speak, they don't see, they don't hear, they have no hands to do. So if God says don't trust in the idol because those things don't do those things, and he says trust in me, he must have to be opposite of those things. Are y'all walking with me? It's very, very important that we come to a conclusion that God does speak. Now, one of the reasons that it's hard for us to understand that God speaks is because so many people say, God said, God said, God said. How many understand what I'm saying? And a lot of those people who say God said are saying things that the Bible don't say. So they're contradicting what God has written down. And that's what we have to say. No, God didn't say that. Are you with me? So we're talking about God speaks. It's important that we know this, because if we don't feel that God speaks, I have a question. Why should we read the Bible? Because you do know the Bible is not God. The Bible points us to God. If somebody wrote an autobiography of me and you read it, I'm not that autobiography. It gives you an idea as to who I am. It leads you to me. It's not me, though. So the Bible is not God. The Bible, you read the Bible and it points you to God. Come on, are y'all with me?
Yeah,
amen. Because I'm not going to tell you anything. You're actually going to see some things about me that I am key on the Word of God. If it's not the Word of God, it's not God. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So if the Word of God, if what's being said is contradictory to the Word of God, then it is not God. But God has always spoken off the pages for all of history. And so why would he stop after the Bible is written? Because here's some of you might be like, oh, where are you going? There's a lot of teachings that suggest that once the Bible was finished, God stopped speaking. Because that's how to hear from God. And the truth is, that is how to hear from God. That's just not the only way to hear from God. Because if that was the only way to hear from God, I have a question. Why do we pray? Why do we talk to someone that won't talk back? That doesn't sound like a relationship. That sounds like a religion. You, imagine you being in a relationship. This is my wife, by the way. Y'all say, hey, Andrea.
Hey, Andrea.
It's my wife. So imagine I go to talk to her, but she's unable to communicate back with me. It's hard to have a relationship with anything that cannot relate.
Yeah.
Are you with me? So I'm trying to say all this stuff to kind of, as a preface of saying, there is no reason to spend time with God if he's not going to talk. God doesn't want us praying to him without him talking back. There is not, from the Old Testament to the end of the book, there are so many instances from Genesis to Revelation that God is speaking without them reading a Bible. Because here's the truth. The New Testament people, Paul, the apostles, the disciples, yeah, they didn't have the New Testament written down. Y'all understand they didn't have the New Testament, but they had the Old Testament. And so they had the Word of God, and God was still speaking off the pages. So why does God stop now? Because the complete Bible is finished. That complete Bible is finished to tell us the story of creation, to tell us the story of the fall of man, to tell us the story of the prophecy that Christ will come and redeem man. It shows us how he did it. It shows us how he's coming back to redeem the whole world. That's what the Bible does. It gives us a big picture of who God is, how he redeemed us, and what he's going to do at the end, what we call the consummation. From Genesis to Revelation, that's good. But it's still not God. That is what God has said. But what is God saying? Are you with me? So spending time with God, I want you to understand. I want you to Here's what my job as a teacher is. My job is not to teach you something you already know. If I throw something to you that you already know, I'm not teaching you anything. I need to throw something where you are not, so it will cause you to grow up into where God is. Does that make sense? So what I'm saying is, it's not good enough just to read your Bible and you get a little devotional thought every morning. There's nothing wrong with that. That's good. But God has a deeper desire than you reading your chapter today and you got your thought and you going about your thought. No, God is actually trying to speak to you, to call you to himself, to use your life for something greater than a devotional thought. And that will not happen if I'm just, oh, I just got my little thought. Hey, man, cool. I'm going about my business. No. God actually wants to talk to you concerning his will, concerning more than what you're seeing on those pages. He doesn't want to talk to you about anything that's contradictory to that, but he does want to talk to you about something more than that. Are y'all hearing me?
Yes.
All right, let me get into this. So we're in part two. First part was talking about, as I come to God, first part of Quiet Times, as I come to God, it's me talking to him. I am giving praises to him. When you spend time with God, a great thing to do before you start asking a whole lot, it's better to start telling God, worshiping God, and adoring him for who he is.
Yeah.
Anytime, you know, you meet someone, what's your name again? Dustin?
Clint.
Clint, wow. What's your name? Nick. Got you. Dustin. I'm horrible names. Okay, Clint. Imagine if I come to, I just met him today. So, you know, we go outside. Hey, Clint, you know what I mean? I want you to hear my story, you know. After I tell him a story, you know, yeah, can I get about a few dollars? Can I get about $100? That would be sort of like, that would be dead wrong, wouldn't it? Is that we haven't had a relationship for me to be asking like that. Does that make sense? You would say no, right? you know what I'm saying? Sometimes when we just spend time with God, we don't really have a relationship with God. We just want, but we don't really want to conversate. Mm-hmm. We don't really want to get to know him, and we don't want him to get to know us. So our time with God is not necessarily about ask. It's about first, God, you are good. You are amazing. You are holy. I thank you for who you are. I bless you. You didn't have to save me, but you did. I'm glad about that. I thank you for that. I bow to you. I surrender to you. I'm thankful to you. God, I give my life to you. I surrender to you today. Before we're getting in all the other things. There's nothing wrong with asking things from God, amen? But we're talking about spending time with God. How we talk, how I teach quiet time, spend time with God, is when you first come to God, you may have a journal, get a journal, start writing out your prayers to God, or you can not write out your prayers to God and just verbalize your prayers. You can talk it out or you can write it out. But start writing out praises to God. Start your quiet times or your time with God with praise and worship and adoration. It's the best thing to do with God because it diminishes you and your problems and your pride, and it exalts God. You get me? One of the things that we do in church, we come, you know, how many of you had a fairly rough day today? Anybody? You had a fairly rough day. Sometimes we have a rough day and we come to church, and then when we come to church, or a rough morning, sometimes Sunday morning, you know, it's been, y'all know, you know, wake up early, tired, you know. You go to church and there is this pressure from life, and it's my mind is worried, I'm confused, or I'm angry, or I'm just not into it. I'm not into anything. And so we get into worship, which is usually the first thing at church. And as we get into worship, it's just this thing, I just don't feel like engaging. Because I'm concerned about my problems. Or I don't feel like engaging because I'm concerned about what happened yesterday. Or I don't feel like I'm engaging because I'm concerned about what I'm going to do tomorrow. And the more we're concerned about this versus that, this is why we can't get into God's presence. So the way to get into God's presence is to put everything about you down and pick everything about God up. Yes, that's good. You get me? That is the way into God's presence. It is a denial of self and an acceptance of one greater than you. You cannot worship God if you don't deny you. If a dignitary walked in this room, a president or some king or some queen, they walked in here, what should all of us do? Let me see if you know what to do. Right, now that means you're denying yourself, you're denying your ego for someone that's greater than you who has more of a dignity or an honor than you, so to speak. Does that make sense? We call them a sovereign, so we stand. Why do we do that? We do that to pay homage to someone greater than us. When we spend time with God, in our hearts have to do that. Our hearts have to say, there's someone greater than me. If you're in the military and you're, let's say you're a private, and then there is a lieutenant or a captain, someone who's higher ranked than you, if that person comes, no matter what you're doing, if that person comes up, lieutenant on deck, you have to salute. Why? Because there's a person of greater honor than you. We have to know how to do that with God. God is of greater honor than us. And so spending time with God, we have to know that first. Because if we're not careful, we honestly would think that we can tell God what to do. Yeah. Well, God, I'm asking you for this, and God doesn't do it. How dare God not answer my prayer? Oh, I'm scared of you. Let me back up from you, fool. Okay, so here's what we talked about, praising God. This is what we get into tonight. The second part of your quiet time is for hearing God's voice. hearing God's voice. Now, I'm prefacing this by the Word of God. We start with the Word of God. If the Word of God, do y'all see the little message thing? Okay, got you. If the Word of God is not, if we're not reading the Word of God, let me suggest it like this. Many people want to hear God talk to them in their ear, but don't have time to read their Bible. And that's backwards. I'm going to tell you why it's backwards. There's a whole lot of religions that have started from people hearing a voice rather reading that Bible. Right. Yeah. Right. And the Bible says, if even an angel comes to you and tells you something different than what we've wrote, that message that angel told you, that angel himself is accursed. Mm-hmm. Do you know the Jehovah Witness religion believed that an angel came and spoke to him? The Mormons believe that Michael came and spoke to them. They believe an angel came and spoke to them. Islam believes an angel came and spoke to them. It's what I'm saying is we need to learn how to hear God's voice. Yes, we do need to learn that. But how do you learn that? By reading the Bible first. We have to know the Word of God. Let me give you a great example really quick. Say I wanted to become a banker and I wanted to learn how to, you're using money and you have to learn the difference between real and counterfeit bills. You would think there's like a machine, and I think there is, obviously, of course, today, I'm sure there are plenty of machines that do it, but how they used to do it is they give you a whole lot of $100 bills. I mean, like a stack, like, you know, a whole lot of money. And so what they do is you have to just have to separate them. And as you're touching them, they out of that stack, you might have like, let's say 400 $100 bills, 400 of them. Out of that stack, they may have like 3 counterfeit bills. So as you're doing, you know, you get onto one's like, ooh, that felt weird. It felt different. Okay. Mm-mm. That fit. This one feel like the other. See, they don't put you to see a whole bunch of fake bills and compare the two. What they do is they make you see a whole bunch of what's right. Yeah. You see the right thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again until when the wrong thing comes, it's easily detected. And so what I'm saying is for us to learn how to hear God's voice off the page, you really do need to know how to hear God's voice on the pages. If you hear the Bible enough, somebody will come start talking about something. It's like, hey, that almost sounds like God, but that's wrong. That contradicts the Word of God. It sounds just like it's Christian. The only problem is it ain't Christian. That's not the Word of God. It's close, but it's not the complete Word. So now, in human history, God has spoken to mankind through many ways, but after the completion of the Old and New Testament Bible, God's most primitive and reliable method is through the Holy Scriptures. The most reliable way to hear from God is through the Scripture. Now, it almost sounds like I've been contradicting myself the whole time, don't it? I'm not. I'm saying you have to find your base in that. Once you find your basis in that, then as God starts speaking to you, it doesn't sound foreign. You actually learn how God feels about certain things, what he cares about by reading the Word of God. And then you just say, oh, wow, God loves this. Yeah, does God have a problem with this? Yes, he does. But does God hate that? Yeah, he does. Does God hate them? No, he doesn't. Does God allow people to be poor? No. Is God making people poor? No. Did the Bible say you will always have the poor with you? Yes. So it's sort of like, well, how do you navigate through that? My point is the more you hear the Word of God, the more you start understanding how God flows and you understand what he's really concerned about and what he's not. The problem is some people just read one verse and they go to Google and then Google tells them what the Bible says and then they got a whole theology on what Google told them. That's very dangerous. If you want to know the Word of God, please go to somebody who knows the Word of God versus going to Google that'll give you everything anti-God. Unless you know those great places to study on from Google. Amen. Now, we will agree to say that the voice of God that we use in this section is the Word of God. Okay, now, so basically in your quiet time, you spent time praising God, and now it's time to settle down into listening to God. Here's what you need to do. Get one chapter out of the Bible and read that one chapter. Okay? Now, obviously, if you've been doing this long enough, you keep going. But take one chapter, and as you're reading that chapter, you need to be jotting down what's starting to stick out to you, what's starting to highlight to you, what's starting to, you know, like, wow, that was awesome, or that was cool. You know, you need to start, as you're reading, wow, that, man, that kind of struck a chord in me, like, ooh, that was good, or, dang, I'm kind of doing that. I need to stop. You see what I'm saying? That's important. It's very, very important. Now, as you read, circle, highlight, jot down points that stick out to you. Anything that catches your attention or makes something on the inside of you like, whoa, I like that. The things that you're going to be looking for can include interesting facts. You might be reading the Bible and it's like, wow, that's interesting. I never really read that. I've been reading the book of John so many times, I've never really paid attention to that. You know, and it's like, wow, that's interesting. You might say, well, that's not deep. It ain't. It was just interesting. Right. Do you know, like, you spend time with people and they kind of say stuff and it's like, oh, that was interesting. Or I just learned that about them. Like, I learned about a friend of mine the other day that he used to be in the circus. And I was like, what? it was just interesting. It wasn't deep. It was just, that was really cool. So interesting facts. Here's another one. You jot down any questions you have concerning the text you're reading. You might be reading something, and it might be like, he has made you, or he has sanctified you, or he justified you. I'm like, what does that mean? Yeah, go and find out what that means. Circle that word and go look it up later. Can y'all see that I'm not saying something really deep right now? Very, very practical. You're reading the Bible. It's like, hey, what does that word mean? Sometimes we just look over it. And how many of you know, like, you be reading books in school and it's a word and you don't even know what it means. You don't even really understand the context of it. You just like, bump down, just keep going. And it's like, that was an important word, but you don't look it up. So sometimes you might be reading something in a Bible and you have no idea what that word means. And it's like, hey, write that word down, contact somebody. Don't go to Google, contact somebody. You may go to Google, but anyways, my point is find someone or find a way to understand that question. If there's a question, or like you might say, well, why would God do this? I had a young lady ask me like 30 questions this morning. I loved it. It was just question after question after question after question. I was like, all right, cool, bet. Like, let's keep talking. I love it because, you know, I'm a teacher of the Bible, so I enjoy questions. And let me say this. If you really want to understand the Word of God, the best thing to do is ask questions. The disciples couldn't cast out a demon, and they asked the question, well, how couldn't we do it? And, you know, God actually answered them. He gave them an answer. The next time, they didn't have that problem. So it's okay to ask questions. Here's another thing that you may be looking for. Great insights or revelations. Now we're talking about more deep things. God can download something you read into your spirit that changes your life. Like you start reading something, it's like, man, like this one lady at our church, she's Jewish. And she grew up Orthodox Jew, which means she didn't believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Yeah. And she was never taught to read the Bible. It was like don't read the New Testament. So she began to read the New Testament. And I mean, she saw from point to point to point how Jesus was exactly who God said him to be, and she got saved. So what I'm saying is, sometimes you can be reading something in the Bible and it will change your life because it's like, I've been foolish. I haven't read, you know, let me say something quick. We do this a whole lot. We judge Christianity a lot, but don't read the Bible. And so it's like, before you start picking up your guns and judging, how about you read to know what you're judging? Because you might find out that God isn't as mean as you say he is. You might find out that there is no such thing as the mean Old Testament God and the cute, loving New Testament Jesus. What I'm saying is the Old Testament, yes, God did have wrath. And God did judge people when they messed up in the Old Testament. But the Old Testament also have scriptures that says, and he is slow to anger and rich in love. Yeah. So was he wrathful or was he loving back then? He was both. Yeah. Well, okay, well, the New Testament don't have that. All right, well, in the New Testament, Jesus, there's a woman who, you know, was caught in adultery. And he said, where are those who condemn you? They're not here. He says, neither do I. That's love, ain't it? Absolutely. He didn't pick on her. He didn't judge her, did he? Did he? Yeah. In the book of Acts, Ananias and Sapphira went around lying about how much money they were going to give for their house. And the woman first lied, and she dropped dead. And the man lied, and he dropped dead. And then the woman came in, and this is what Peter said. Peter said, hey, listen, how much money did y'all sell your house for? And she lied, just like her husband did. And this is what he says. The men who just carried your husband away and buried him are going to bury you too. Because he says, for you lied to the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you a question. Is Jesus mean or is he nice in the New Testament? That's a bad statement. Does Jesus judge and show mercy in the New Testament? He does both. Are you with me? But sometimes we will quickly say that God is a bigot in the Old Testament and Jesus is not like that, or Jesus doesn't have opinions in the New Testament. Sometimes we'll say that God in the Old Testament, you know, like he did all these, you know, great things, but in the New Testament, you don't see too many things like that happening. So my point is, deep insights will help us, because the Word of God, a lot of times you think that you're reading the Bible, but the truth is, y'all ready for this? The Bible reads you. As you read the Bible, you're like, you know, like, you're like, oh, this, you know, as you're reading the Bible will show you where you are and where you are not. It's like a mirror. Does that make sense? So this great insight. Here's another thing. Other things that stick out to you. It doesn't matter what you're reading. Anything can stick out to you. It can jump out to you. It can be awesome. It can be cool. The point of us reading the Bible is to know the character of God. Okay? It's to know the character of God. The reason we spend time with God is to know the person of God. You get me? All right, let's move on. So, what's happening in this part of your quiet time is God is speaking to you through his word. The things that are starting to jump off the page, whether they're insights, they're questions, they're these things, that's called the rhema word of God. That means that God is speaking to you something. And listen, there are times that, you know, you're reading the Word of God. How many of you have read the Word of God and was just like, I don't get none of this? You just kind of left more confused than you did before you picked it up. Let me say something about that really quick. Some of the reasons you guys get confused as in reading the Word of God is because you get translations that you don't understand. Or you just don't invest in the Bible, and so your mom give you their old Bible. And it's not wrong with you getting your parents' old Bible. But most teenagers today don't speak King James or understand King James. So you're trying to read a King James Bible and you don't understand what it means. Yeah, you're going to get frustrated. Exactly. Yeah, it's going to be frustrating because you don't understand it. Your parents understand it because their grandparents talked about it in church and their parents did it in church. So they grew up with a King James Bible. Today, you don't have to have a King James Bible. In fact, they have Bibles that are on fifth grade reading levels, that are on high school reading levels, that are on more mature reading levels. So what I'm saying is sometimes it's the translation you have that makes you confused. So invest in a good Bible, one that you like. Are you with me? So in section one, you talk to God. You praise God. In section two, God is starting out. He's come down to talk to you. Let's look at Psalm 22, verse 3. Listen to what this says. It says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. I put that up there on purpose because I like the term inhabit. He will inhabit the praises of his people. In other words, when you begin to praise God, God actually descends to be in your midst. Jesus said, if two or three gather in my name, I will be there with them. Isn't that right? So my point is when you start calling out to God, when you start praising God, now how many of you know God is everywhere at all times? He's omnipresent. So how can God be here now and then be here? Because God can do that. God is able, we know God is everywhere at all times, but it doesn't mean that I'm in connection with God at all times. So when I'm starting to praise him, I'm actually turning my focus to him, and then now we start to connect. Are you with me? And so as you start to praise God, he begins to descend into your quiet times. And after you will know that you start having moments with God. You're starting to talk to God and you're starting to read the Word of God. And the Word of God is beginning to teach you who God is, what God likes, what God dislikes. That's the purpose of the Word of God. And so we have to get into this point to where we have to, as Christians, do this. I'm not saying this as a law, like if you don't do it, you're bad, because that's not true. But what I am saying, one of the reasons we are so illiterate to the things of God, we don't know anything about God, is because we don't spend time reading the Word of God. Just because you're young, you don't have an excuse not to read the Word of God. We don't get a pass for not knowing what God wants us to know. And so we have every bit of information on how to get a Bible. I mean, you got it on your phone, you got it on your tablet, you got it on your TV, because we got smart TVs now that have Bible. We can have a Bible on anywhere you go. And I mean, even while I don't like reading, just put it on audio and just let it play. We need the Word of God. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm very honest. If you don't know by now, you can tell I'm very honest. But the world doesn't have to read the Bible. They don't have to spend time with God. Those who don't want to be a Christian don't have to spend time with God. But it doesn't make sense for Christians to not spend time with God. It's confusing for me to say, I want to be in a relationship with God, but never be in a relationship with God. Okay? So we don't invest in fire insurance. We actually like God. Yeah. You get that. All right, now, here we are learning how to hear God's voice in a healthy manner. Quiet time is a training for hearing God off the pages or in your spirit. When Elijah wanted to hear from God, God passed by, you know, the big wind and the big earthquake and the big storm. But then God spoke with a still, small voice. I want to ask you this. When God was speaking to them, why didn't God tell Elijah to go read the first 5 books of the Bible that was written at the time? Well, Elijah, read the Word. Are you with me? God spoke in we call it a still, small voice. And what that means is he gives you impressions. He gives you he speaks in your mind. He speaks in your thoughts. And a lot of times we say, well, is this me? Is this God? Or is this some other thing? Sometimes it is you. Sometimes you're just thinking. Okay, so let me give you some ways that God speaks really quick. Number one, these are not on the notes. One way that God speaks is that God speaks through the Word of God. Okay, that is a way that God speaks, and that is a sure way to know if it's right or wrong. Because you can line it up with the Bible. Now, another way that God speaks is he speaks through people. That's a problem for a lot of people, but here's the truth. We're talking about a spiritual realm. Are you with me? Because we kind of think like psychics don't know how to talk to people. And spiritists don't know how to talk to, you know, like they you know. Have you ever seen those TV shows like those mediums? Do you know, like, they actually can give accurate information? Okay? I would never go to any of them. But what I'm saying is, how can they do that and God not be able to speak to you through people? Right. Right. That's why we have prophets. Okay? So God speaks to people. He speaks through the Word of God. He speaks through people. He speaks through dreams and visions. There's so many people who have dreams. It's like, man, I dreamed that it happened. Why do you think that God could not have talked to you through a dream? You get me? Yeah. So God speaks through the Word of God. God speaks through men. God speaks through dreams and visions. God speaks through circumstances, believe it or not. Speaks through circumstances. The children of Israel were getting ready to cross the Jordan and go into the promised land. And as they were crossing this water, God says, I want you to put these stones as a sign of remembrance so that when your children come and they see these stones, they ask you, what does this mean? And you can say, this is when God did such and such so that they may know the Lord. So God can speak to circumstances. Now, if a man or woman cannot hear the Bible clearly, they will struggle trying to hear these things. Are you with me? People, because I'm kind of talking on two extremes right now. I'm talking on some extremes that it's only the Bible. And I'm also talking on other extremes, well, I don't need the Bible. God can talk to me personally. We need to be in the middle. And what I mean by that is some people are so spiritual that they just want to just, I want to hear from God, hear from God, hear from God. And then they go around and talk to people all the time and mess people's lives up. And so the Bible, the Pharisees would say, oh, you said, oh, that's what God said. Okay, let's see what the word of God says. Ain't wrong. Stone him. And there are scriptures in the Bible in Ezekiel that God, and y'all hear me for a second, God said this. He says, there are many people saying things that I have not said. They're making that up. They're lying. I didn't say it. And anytime a person went and said something that God did not say, if a prophet in the Old Testament prophesied and it didn't come to pass, they had to be stoned. You know, and so we need to have this seriousness about when we say God has said. You mean? Because this is not, we don't just run and do that. But people struggle to try to hear from God when all they do is avoid the word of God. You have to read the word of God so that you understand the truth. Let me give you some things real quick. The Bible is the voice of God. If you know how the Bible sounds, you will know how God sounds. If you do not know the language and the voice of the Bible, you do not know the language and the voice of God. Some dude wrote that. It was pretty cool. Let me give you some hints, some tips. I want to help you with this, okay? Let me give you some tips when you are spending your time with God and you're reading the Bible. This is the portion of your quiet time when you're reading the Bible. Let me give you some tips real quick. Number one, I want to give you a warning. You may not receive feelings. You may not receive a great deep insight. You might not leave like, man, God just spoke to me. OMG. You know, you might not get that. In fact, there's a lot of times that I have read the Bible, and I mean, like, it was so boring, I fell asleep. It was just like, man, reading such and such had this person, such and such had that person. Then you wake up, it's like, dang. I mean, I was just in my office the other day, Monday, and I was reading and doing my quiet time, and I just found myself like this. I just did. And I mean, like, you know, like, it happens. You know, what I'm trying to say is don't be all deep, like, every time you spend time with God, like, just, you know, him and Moses and Elijah come down and talk to y'all, and y'all just talking about the rapture and everything. It don't happen like that. Sometimes you read the Bible, and you leave like, I don't really get it. You get me? That's okay. You have to condition. How many work out? Anybody work out? Whether you lift weights or whatever. You lift weights. The first time you go do it, you don't feel like, oh, shoot, you know, boom. You don't feel like that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm saying, like, well, at least a person like myself who's, you know, you know, I mean, a person like myself, I go lift weights, you know, I don't feel like, you know. What happens is over time, you'll start seeing change. You'll start looking different. You'll start feeling different. What I'm saying is sometimes we go in the Word of God and we want to cry. We want to catch the Holy Ghost when we're reading the Bible. And let me tell you, sometimes you ain't going to catch the Holy Ghost reading the Bible. Sometimes you can be a buff guy working out, and sometimes your workout just felt like, eh. I don't know. I guess I couldn't get going. It's okay to have it's a rhythm, and you got to get in a rhythm. Like, for instance, some of you haven't spent time with God in a month. And it's like, the reason it's hard for you to get back to spend time with God because you ain't spent time with God in a month. And you're kind of nervous because it's like, you know, you sort of whatever. Here's what you do. Spend time with God. And it's going to feel like I ain't really getting nothing out of it. Do it the next day. After you get to that third or fourth day, it's like, boom, it's wide open. Because it's a flow, it's a rhythm. You get me? So when we start spending time with God and we start doing a lot, there's times, I promise you this, and I hope this encourages you, but there's times that I'll come into my quiet time ready to spend time with God because I've been doing it and I'm consistent and I'm just on fire for it to where before I can even open my Bible, it's just like, wow, it's just me and God. And I mean, it's a presence that's happening there. But that happens when you come familiar with a person. Okay? So, number one, you might at times not receive anything great and deep. Number two, when things are sticking out to you, they're usually for the following purpose. When you start hearing, things start sticking out to you, here's why they're doing it. Number one, you might be hearing a promise from God. Okay? And I got to close on this because I'm going to give you all these quick things because, you know, I don't want to hold you too long. You know, I don't want to give you too much Bible knowledge. The first is, it's a promise from God. The word of God might be giving you a promise to live by and faithfully watch God perform your life. When you're reading the Bible, is this a promise to me? It's a promise. Well, the next thing, it could be a warning. I was at a church one time. Bro, I was at a church, and me and my wife, she wanted to move away, and I didn't want to move. And then another time, I'm like, I want to move, and she didn't want to move. So this time I'm thinking like, okay, I want to move. I'm ready, right? We were going to a church called Greater Bethlehem. And so I had a dream. And the dream, it was like, I don't know who it was, but basically the dream was saying, read the book of Ruth. That's the dream I had. And I woke up, I read the book of Ruth. First chapter, chapter 1, verse 1. And there was a famine in Bethlehem. I'm thinking like, oh, good, great, awesome. So, you know, we go to Greater Bethlehem, so there's a famine in Bethlehem, so let's get out of here. So they left Bethlehem and went to the city Moab. I think, well, I know Mobile, Alabama, I don't know. So, you know, I'm like, we're going to leave, and they left Bethlehem and went to Moab. And when they went to Moab, Naomi, her husband, and her sons, Naomi's husband died, and her two sons died. And I was like, okay, stay at Bethlehem. I'm not leaving. I didn't want to play like I didn't think that was a warning. I didn't know. Like, here's the truth. I wasn't like, okay, God just warned me. I kind of, you know how you like, I don't know if like you kind of telling me to do something or this is me. But I think I'm a side with, just in case if you are telling me, I'm a side like this, just in case. And I'm glad I did. So sometimes it can be a warning. Here's another thing. It can be a commandment. It could be saying, God is just saying, this is what you're supposed to do. This is what you're not supposed to do. When the Bible says, gives a commandment is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a question. It's not saying, hey, do you feel like serving me today? Well, you know, do you want to do it today? It's a commandment. Next thing, it could be a prophecy. God may show you a prophecy. This applies to you personally. You can read something and that's directly to your life. It's like, okay, you've been searching for God. You've been asking God to make it.